And stop.
Wow. I never thought I'd be back in Studio 11 again. But, you know, now with the Sens Underground podcast retired, this thing needs a new name. Maybe Studio 65. What you got there?
Seems like everything's still on.
Well.
Oh, there's still beer in the fridge.
Well, guys, let's see what happens when I push this button.
Welcome, everyone, to the first broadcast on the Sens Underground Network. Just as bingo players like Condra, Greening, or O'Brien get called up for some games in one season, and then they move on to the big team in the following one, some Groundhogs got a chance to sit in with the Sens Underground last season, and we're now trying our hand with our own podcast. I'm Cardinal, and together with Canuck and Pan, we're the Sens call-ups. We're hoping to fill part of the space left by the SU lads. Welcome to episode number one for Wednesday, July 18th, 2012, from Studio 65. The SU forums are still up and running at sensunderground.com, and you can contact us via email at podcast@senscallups.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at senscallups. Canuck, how's your summer?
Good evening. My summer's been awesome. It's also been very busy, a lot of traveling and a lot of work to do, but the weather's been great. I know it's hot, but hey, the alternative is snow. So I'm loving it.
Good. Ben, is it hot enough for you?
Hey, not anymore. Thank God for that rain, but geez, it's been crazy.
Yeah, I thought summertime was when things were supposed to calm down, but it only seems to be busier for everybody else these days.
I know. Blues Fest, pretty good.
Oh,
pretty
yeah, I just
good.
Ended. I get a free concert every night. It's been fantastic.
Can you hear it from where you're living?
Most nights, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, Canuck, give us an overview of what this show is going to be looking like.
Yeah, so I know there's a lot of confusion as to what's going on here, so we thought we'd take a couple moments and explain. First off, Sens Underground. Well, the Sens Underground podcast concluded, as you know. However, because there's such a great following of the Sens Underground, and you know they spent a lot of time building up that name, they've now launched what's called the Sens Underground Network. And the idea being is that it's Sens Underground Network is like the Team 1200 radio. They're going to be broadcasting, and the Sens Call-Ups is this podcast. We're going to be like the show. We're like the morning show or the Healthy Scratches, and we're going to be broadcasting, you know, regularly once the season starts, of course, and hopefully as much as weekly. And we're going to be one podcast. And the idea is that other people can contribute. They can create their own podcasts, or they can create their own, you know, one-off submissions, and it can be sent, and people will be downloading from the Sens Underground Network, kind of one podcast feed. And, you know, of course, you'll see the Sens call-up podcasts that are going to be coming on there, and you might see other people as they start up. So just imagine in the future, if this thing was to grow, you know, have our podcast on one night, somebody else having their show on another night, and different people contributing here and there, and just to create this network of fun by the fans for the fans, network. So it's pretty exciting what they're doing. Now, of course, the three of us, we're very excited to start this particular podcast. And how we're doing things is we're actually hoping to include people on our podcast. For example, hopefully later tonight, we're going to be joined by Puddle Duck by Skype. And, you know, other people, you don't have to be in Ottawa. You can join us by phone. You can join us on the internet. And, you know, we'll loop you in. You can be here for a segment of our podcast, or you may even be a guest for an entire show. So we want to include everybody here, and we want it to be fun and informative. So hope that clears things up. Anything to add there, guys?
If anybody's interested, you can read the main page on Sens Underground. The contact point, if you're interested in putting together your own feed for a daily, a weekly, a one-off, whatever, is use the original email address, which was podcast@sensunderground.com. Get in contact with the lads there, and they'll take care of providing you with any info you need to get started and setting you up with anything that they might be able to help you with. All right. Well, it's time to step into things then. Want to start off with, we got a lot to talk about this in the off season. A lot has happened. Some of it is fairly far in the past, so it'll be pretty quick to go over. And there's lots even going on today. So we'll get moving. Just a quick recap of the Stanley Cup playoffs, how the Senators did. And first off, congratulations to the LA Kings. They did the seemingly impossible of knocking off the first and second and third place in the Western Conference on their way to the Cup Final.
And 16-4.
Yeah,
a little 16-4.
Yeah.
You know, thinking of that, reminds me of a certain GM down the 401, and maybe I got that comment that he has. Let's see if I got it here.
This notion of making the playoffs, I said this before. We could have made the playoffs last year. We could have made the playoffs this year. We could have traded first round. This pick that we have in the draft, we could have traded that, gotten a 30-year-old, somehow squeak in. I'm not interested in making the playoffs unless it's as part of a championship. That's the goal here. And it seems a mile away. I understand that. I can see people shaking their heads. But that is the goal. Not to get in the eighth spot, get your ass kicked, and then stand up here and say, yeah, but we're in the playoffs. I'm trying to build a championship team here.
Pittsburgh model. There's a Pittsburgh model.
Yeah, well, I guess he just admits that, you know, even if he had made it, he wouldn't have been going anywhere, which I suppose is a little honest, but, you know, if LA can do it in the eighth place, which nobody was thinking they were going anywhere, they, you know, most people were saying, oh, they're out in five against Vancouver. No, not so much.
Well, there you have it, Leafs fan. Brian Burke wants you to be like the Vancouver Canucks and come in first place, not be like the LA Kings and come in eighth.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's a great model.
It's such a hypocrite, too, because before it was like, we just need to make it in. We just want to make it in. And now he's changed his tune. I don't know why people put up with him down there, but I'm glad they have him there. He's great entertainment, and he's perfect for that city.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. The longer he's there, the funnier it becomes. There's no lack of humor coming out of there.
No kidding.
As far as the Senators in the playoffs, I was pretty happy with how they did. I mean, they were eighth. They took the number one team in the conference to seven games. There was a one goal difference over seven games of the entire series. And I was pretty happy with the way they played. Nobody even expected them to get to the playoffs in the first place. We did, as Senators fans. We believed in them. Maybe not at first, but we did. Or we wanted to, at least.
It was exciting. It was,
absolutely.
It wasn't like the when we'd squeak in the past and play Buffalo and four and out.
No.
It's the first time, I think, since maybe the first year that they made the playoffs, where it's just that shot that Tugnutt's glove didn't take, that it was disappointing, but it's not that I was pissed off at the team.
Exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, I was disappointed for them. Like, I really wanted them to get to the second round because they were working so hard and playing really well. Really well.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, everyone's disappointed that they lost the round one. But like you say, I'm not disappointed in the effort and the great showing they did. And you've heard this kind of thought before. Everyone thinks, oh, you know, you went out round one. Well, round one is one of the hardest rounds in the entire playoffs. It's just so much going on, so It's tough. I don't feel bad at all. It was a great run, and I just hope that they can pick it right up next year.
Yep.
Absolutely. I was at game six here in Ottawa, and I have to say, not only did the team pick it up for the playoffs and they were playing their butts off out on the ice, but so were the fans up in the stands. That place was deafening. I worked out at Scotiabank Place for quite a number of years doing concert production, and the crowd there was as loud as anything I'd ever heard at anything, whether it's a hockey game, a rock concert, you name it. It was absolutely deafening.
I agree. And
the atmosphere was awesome.
I've never seen it like that.
Oh.
Didn't see any Leafers. Didn't see many Rangers fans either, but that was
kind of nice. I saw a few, but they were well behaved, and they were kind of like what Shredder and Canuck were like down in New York. They were, they were visitors, and they were polite, and they were actually fun to be with. Bantering back and forth, but they weren't idiots. They were hockey fans. They weren't just idiots trying to be stupid.
Exactly.
So they were fun.
When Shredder and I were at Madison Square Garden, this was game two, it was loud. Like, I thought, man, there's no way Scotiabank Place could be this loud. And then I was back for, I didn't get to game three. I just watched it on TV. But game four, I was there. And it was a little quiet, I thought, because it was only about halfway through the game when they scored. But, man, once they scored, that place just erupted. And of course, that was the game where the entire TV timeout, there was just the roar from the fans. It was great. I agree.
So let's hope they can pick it up where they left off come next season, because a lot of those parts are going to be back. And we have I was happy to see after all of that and after the season was over that that some of our players got the recognition that I thought they deserved. Unfortunately, our coach didn't. But Carlson won the Norris Trophy, and I think he was the underdog. Certainly going into this, most of the media were saying, oh, well, he deserves it, but he's not going to get it. He doesn't have the body of work. He's being compared to blah, blah, blah. He's not a defensive defenseman. I got really tired of listening to that.
It's almost like they're doing everything they could to keep keep you guessing as to who is going to win, even though it seemed to be a hands-down, obvious selection. Since this trophy is per season, not per career.
Well put. Well put. Yeah, maybe that was it. I don't know. Maybe they got together and said, well, he's going to win it, but we got to play it down. But it seemed everywhere was just talking about that, that it wouldn't be happening. So I was really, really pleased to see that happen. And Alfie didn't win the Masterton, but he did win the King Clancy Memorial Trophy for leadership on and off the ice and making a significant humanitarian contribution, specifically for his work with the hospital here in Ottawa and mental
Royal
illness.
Ottawa, I think.
Yeah, the Royal Ottawa. Thank you.
Yeah, nice touch.
Well, I go back to the All-Star game, and so many people were commenting at the end of it that they were especially people from the media who were from out of town, that they were stunned with the amount of fan support and adulation for Alfie. Like, they didn't know how adored he was in the city. And how amazing a leadership and how inspiring a figure he has been to so many people. And it was kind of like, looking back, it was almost like a prelude to him winning this award, because finally everybody else realized what we think of our captain.
Yeah, and interesting, he was up on stage with Mike Fisher, of course, and for a very similar kind of award in community service. And the two of them, and Mike even paid tribute to Alfie and his mentorship, too, in that regard. So very touching.
Yep, classy guys. Now, also continuing on, McLean didn't win the Coach of the Year. Who won it? Hitchcock?
Yep, Hitchcock.
Okay. I still think Hitch did a great job with St. Louis.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
One thing that with McLean, just nominated, is that going to improve things next year in regards to the relationship with the refs? I noticed a lot of times that he would want to talk to the refs and they would never come over to him.
Interesting point.
This hopefully will change things and give him a little bit more respect with the officials. In the same way that maybe the rookies and the younger guys don't get their words in, like with McCreary and other things like that, which we've heard on before.
Yeah.
Is it the same with the coaches?
You heard it here first, folks. Penn says there's going to be no referee controversy next season.
Oh, I wish. I wish. That's a really interesting thought. But if it's true, but how many years was he an assistant with Detroit? Like 10?
10, yeah, it's got to be.
So it's not like they've never seen him before. It's not like he's a Corey Clouston who came out of, not even being in the NHL. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's just like, oh, you're the first-year coach. We don't listen to you. So great point. I'd never stop to think about that. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Because it's about time. And I don't want a repeat of last year either.
Exactly. Thrown out over complaining in offsides.
And everybody cheering him for it.
And look at Torts. Come on.
Torts gets away with murder. But at least he didn't win Coach of the Year either, because that would have been just wrong.
Torts deserves an award for like the shortest press conferences. He's like Twitter.
Press conferences in 140 characters or less.
Exactly. So
something else I saw in regards to controversies, talking about reffing controversies, there not being any. I think for once in what we saw over the summer, and especially in some media, is for once we know who our number one goalie is. Why are people having a controversy between Bishop and Leonard now? People want Bishop up or to stay up. Others want Leonard.
This is unfamiliar territory. We're used to goalie controversy and undecision.
This is a great one on the backup.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are some people who just want to see Leonard play, and they're the kind of people who think that, a first-round draft pick should be in the NHL the next year, and, if you leave them playing in the AHL too long, we want to see them up here now. I think it's a bit of a Brian Burke mentality where, we drafted him, we want to get him playing on the big club right away because that's what the fans want. He's done, Kadri, etc.
Yeah.
And Paul McLean,
definitely the goalie of the future.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't really need him now. And playing 20, 30 games, is that going to be better for him?
If that, yeah. Yep.
And Bishop's on a one-way. That's the other problem.
Yep. Leonard's on a two-way. And he's young and he can play, 60-some-odd games a year down in Binghamton. It just makes sense for him to be down there. Now, there have been quite a few reports lately that his attitude has changed quite a bit since this time last year when he was a bit of the cock of the walk and I'm all ready to do this and people get out of my way. He's really toned it down and grown up. There were comments from, I think it was an interview with Luke Richardson about him that he's really hunkering down and ready to work and ready to improve his game. No, it was Walmsley. It was an interview with Rick Walmsley, the goalie coach, who was saying that he's really, really matured over the past year, which is good. I mean, it's going to take him a few years. And Paul McLean comes from the Detroit mentality of, congratulations, we drafted you, we signed you, go play in the minors for a couple of years. Because that's where you'll learn and that's where you'll be useful afterwards. And I hope
that Detroit model.
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, what did I say? Did I say that? Okay. I don't know. But I really hope that he sticks with it because we've got a lot of prospects to have down there and he's going to have a much better team playing in front of him this year than he did last year. Younger, but hopefully better with a lot better talent playing up front. So it's a better chance for him to, be successful in Binghamton. Who knows? Who knows?
I definitely see one goalie getting moved this year, closer to the end of the year.
Could be.
His Bishop's done at the end of the year, then he falls to UFA.
Well, it depends on where we're sitting. I mean, if we're contending for a playoff spot, I would say, okay, he's UFA at the end of the year, but why would we want to get rid of him now to get a piece? But especially if he's been playing well, why mess with a good thing? He's an $800,000 goalie. So he's a UFA at the end of the year. Okay.
He'll be a $2 million goalie next year, though.
Possibly, yeah, if he's been playing well, but I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Lots of hockey to play beforehand. But if he gets moved and Leonard is playing well and can come up, as long as we have somebody who we can bring up to replace him down in Binghamton or replace the backup so that the new guy can be down there whose name is, what is it?
Oh.
Lawson. Nathan Lawson.
Lawson.
He was playing for Montreal last year, or Montreal's farm team in Hamilton. Yeah.
His save percentage was .914, so I'm happy with that as a fourth goalie in the depth chart.
Yeah, well, apparently he's pretty well regarded, and it's regarded as a bit of a steal to get him that we did, so I'm okay with it.
Yep.
Good with it.
And if Anderson picks up another knife to start cutting his own chicken, we might need all those guys. Who knows?
Anderson needs to hire a chef.
Sure does.
Let somebody else cook his chicken for him.
Okay.
No more calls to 911 at midnight and getting a VRU.
You make $4 million a year. If you make that much, and I know I don't make that, it's rare that I'm cooking. And also with that, if you're making $4 million a year, why do you have to buy frozen chicken? Get the fresh stuff.
Well, maybe you hadn't been shopping that day. I don't want to keep chicken in my fridge too long.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah. Hey, guys, did you hear the comments? It's a little bit old now, but Don Cherry, after the Stanley Cup was won, was on the NHL Network on an interview show, and he gave his comments on the turning point of the entire NHL playoffs. Now, these comments were made after the Stanley Cup was won, and giving his thoughts.
He must have been talking about the hit from behind in the 5-minute major then, right?
Probably. Well, let's cue it up here, see what he said.
Hockey Night in Canada fame. Don, thanks so much for your time. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
So we're watching the best moments from the postseason. Any one moment stand out for you?
Well, there was so many that you could go along the thing. The one that I don't understand, would you like to hear that one?
Yeah.
That it jumps out at me and I think about it all the time, is that Ottawa is up 3-2. Spezza scored a great goal set up by a kid named Stone out of Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. They're rolling along. They've got their foot on the throat of New York. It's all over. Neil's hitting guys, and then the coaching and the management say, whoa, we're going to bring this guy in, fly him over from Sweden called Silverberg, and we're going to bench the kid that set up the winning goal. I said, are they out of their mind? Does what that does to the dressing room, a good kid like that? And they blew the series, and nobody said a word. Not one person said, gee, I didn't think I wouldn't have done that, except me. It is an unbelievable move I've never seen in the playoffs in my life.
Well, I'll tell you what, Don, I do agree with you about one thing. When you have a winning lineup, I don't know why you want to fool with it. So,
yeah.
Turning point of the playoffs.
That's revisionist history and nothing more. Nobody questioned it at the time.
Nobody did.
Everybody was like, oh, you're taking one kid out, bringing another kid in. Okay, no problem.
So the turning point of the playoffs was a second-line player that played rookie. In the first round, rookie, that played in the first round where both teams didn't make it to the final.
Well, yeah. Should have stuck with the Canadian player. I don't know. He's just
that's
controversy man, right?
Hold me being stellar. Yeah. Wow.
That's looking for a soundbite, nothing more. Yeah. That was probably Toronto radio, was it?
NHL Network. I think it was out of New York.
Okay.
But
fair enough. Still.
I have a response for Mr. Don Cherry. And if you forgive me, I'm going to play another audio clip. And it's from his fellow Hockey Night in Canada CBC host and well-loved Bob Cole. Just to set up this clip, this is Game 7. Sens are down by a goal, about 5 minutes left to go in the game. I think we all can bring ourselves back to that moment. We're on the edge of our seat, and the Sens, this entire audio clip is when the Senators are in the offensive zone for an entire minute. And I just want you to listen to the names being called and listen to what Bob Cole is going to say.
The Sens moving on. There's Silverberg coming in. Put it off to the far side. It went in behind the net. He's in there for Silverberg, playing it back to the line. The shot was right on. Silverberg is after it again. He's working hard, this young Swede. Got it back to the blue line. And now Gonchar's ripped the shot, and that's wide. Kept in there at the side of the net. Ottawa fighting hard, trying to tie this game. Right in front, McConnick was robbed. Jump behind the goal. Silverberg again on it. They're all over him, and Ishimov can't stop him. At the line, Gonchar. That stop. Gonchar again keeps it in. All Ottawa here, trying to tie the game. finally the Rangers get a hold of it. It's flipped behind the goal. The other way, they have to get it out somehow, and Anisimov cannot. Kept in by Ottawa. They're everywhere in there. Played on the boards, in front of the net, to the blue line. No shot. There's one. Rebound! Oh, McCulloch hit it too high. Carlson kept it in, shoved it in there for Foligno behind the goal. Blind pass coming up on this side. It's amazing what Ottawa's doing here. Behind the goal comes along.
And you notice Silfverberg's name's being announced at least five times during that segment.
I'm surprised
Bob Cole's
getting it right.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob Cole's getting it right. But as much as I can slag Bob Cole for, you know, the fact that he can't get players' names right, he was certainly calling them right in that little section. When he was calling a player name, he was certainly calling Silfverberg an awful lot. But, of course, Don Cherry is the be-all and end-all. So, yeah, just a soundbite, whatever. I'll be happy to see him be Silfverberg playing here in the fall, because I'm pretty sure he'll be, especially with Foligno being gone, I'm guessing he'll probably be on the second line. Who he'll be playing with, who knows, but hopefully it's Alfie, because that would be pretty lethal. Who says Swedes aren't passionate about their hockey? That was awesome. It was a wicked clip.
Speaking of Swedes, Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, let's go there.
Sakic, Cup winner, Team Canada captain, gold medal. Adam Oates, Cup winner, leadership through the roof. Pavel Bure, one of the top Russians ever. And Matt Sundin was a Leaf.
Yeah. First year of eligibility and Sundin in the Hall of Fame. But Phil Housley, the fourth highest scoring defenseman of all time, blanked again. Shanahan, blanked. But Sundin gets in because it's his first year of eligibility.
Sorry, where's the Hockey Hall of Fame located again?
Center of the universe.
Thought so.
It's a Leaf.
I have to give a little bit of credit to some Toronto-based media. Even they were saying, ooh, wait a minute. That seems a little weird. Like, they're happy, but they weren't quite calling it offside. They were just calling it a little odd looking. And I think they were right. Well, I think it was terrible, but that's just me. I think Sundin is a Hall of Famer. Not yet.
This is going to open up the doors for a lot of different people. Granted, we've got our favoritism, but with Alfie, he led the team to the Cup Finals. He's got less goals than Sundin, but under the Jacques Martin era, where it's defense first, he's not going to score that many.
Mm-hmm.
So just comparing goals isn't necessarily the issue there.
And if Hall of Fame is based solely on scoring goals, then there are some people in there who shouldn't be in there. But they are, because they were put into the Hall of Fame for other reasons, and Alfie has the other reasons that go with it. So.
Yeah,
he'll get probably 30 more this coming season because he is coming back. I've already decided that.
You heard it here first, folks.
We're gonna have a whole podcast full of firsts tonight. This is gonna be interesting. Even more than Sundin being elected into the Hall of Fame, what really bothered me with that announcement was Pat Burns was not.
Again.
I mean, he should have been 2 years ago. When he was still alive. He should have been last year, just after he died. And he sure as hell should have been this year.
Is this sort of like the process for canonizing someone in the Catholic Church? You have to be dead so long? I don't know. That's a little dark humor, sorry.
Well, I don't know. But I don't understand it. I mean, he won the Jack Adams with three different teams. He won a Stanley Cup. What else do you have to do? As a coach, what else do you have to do?
And he coached the Leafs.
Oh, he coached the Leafs.
There you go. There you go. He coached the Leafs and the Habs and the Bruins, three original six teams. I don't get it. I really don't. But that's just me, because I've always had a lot of respect for Pat Burns. I mean, he was the kind of coach that I would want to have if we didn't have Paul McClain, because I like Paul McClain too. Don't get me wrong, but leaving him off is just, it just seems so wrong to me that it's a little upsetting. Anyway, that'll happen. They'll have a lovely ceremony at the Hall of Fame game in Toronto, and the Toronto fans will go wild because Matt Sundin is there. Hopefully, he'll wear a suit, unlike Belfour, who showed up in a leather jacket.
Well, that's looked today.
Looked like he had rolled out of bed.
Down, Ed, put the beer bottle down.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be a tavern close by, so it was only for a little while. Yeah. It's all right. Anyway.
You know what? Speaking of Toronto, like, here it is. This is our first ever episode, and we already had someone contact us from Toronto. And maybe this is a good time. They called up and left us a voicemail. And should I play that now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is from Ms. Marjorie St. James of Toronto. Let's have a listen.
Hello, this is Ms. Marjorie St. James from the Toronto Regional Bible Study Group. You may have heard of some of our local prayer initiatives, such as pray that Dion doesn't get a dirty disease from that Hollywood Jezebel. Truculence is next to godliness, and save a Burke, write a Carlisle. Why I'm calling you today is it has been brought to our attention that this Underground Sends podcast is under new leadership and guidance, and we faithful here in Toronto just wanted to give you our sincere blessing on your new endeavor. To see young, vital, God-fearing men such as yourselves take up the torch from such barbaric beginnings is just refreshing to the soul. You are a true inspiration. I mean, really. This unrepentant idolatry has been going on for far too long. The religious atrocities just seem to pile onto each other with the previous podcast, such as referring to a Swedish captain as the Golden God, this young Carlson being spoke of as an apostle, and now there's a young goalie who is apparently a bishop of some sort. Hello, I see no large hat, hence not a bishop. This constant obsession with the color red, redder. Don't you know that Satan works through colors such as this? Think of your souls, gentlemen. The previous leadership has been taking the Lord's great name in vain for 7 years now. It is about time that they receive their due punishment, banishment from the podcast airwaves. Anyway, we here at the study group welcome your new unvarnished view of the senators as what they truly are, a demon-seated version of our exalted maple leaves. May you all come to the light and follow the glorious path to enlightenment that has been walked by the great ones before us. Sundin, Tucker, Gerber, peace be with you, and Leafs bless.
Mm. Aren't they still paying Tucker for another couple of years?
I cannot.
Yeah, 2 more years they're paying his buyout. Oh, well, I'm not really sure where to go with that, other than... yeah.
Well, I'll say this, Ms. Marjorie, is that the Church of Alfie, we're accepting of all believers. So, you know, you're welcome to join us anytime. Praise Alfie!
Yeah, I'm a little worried if she's making fun of somebody's name and their bishop, what does that make me? Uh-oh, I might be in trouble with her next then if I'm a cardinal. Jeez. Oh, well, I'm wearing red, so it's called a senator's jersey. That's just the way it is. All right. Well, thank you, Miss Marjorie. Please feel free to listen, and perhaps we'll be able to enlighten you slightly on the actual and real truth.
All right, folks. We need to pause for station identification. We're going to be back, and kudos to that clip. That was actually a submission from Puddle Duck. And when we come back from commercial break, we're actually hopefully going to be joined by Puddle Duck. You're listening to the Sens Call-Ups, broadcasting on the Sens Underground Network.
The Toronto Maple Leaf fan, abundant in all regions of Canada despite the obvious efforts of their own team to drive them into extinction. Most active in the fall, often to the point of being obnoxious.
This is our year! This is our year! Every other team sucks!
Their energy generally lasts into the winter, then inevitably begins to dwindle. Still, they travel in large groups, even into foreign territory in great numbers, with pointless displays of bravado.
Number 11, Daniel Alfredson.
Late winter and early spring are hard times for the Toronto Maple Leafs fan.
Why? Why?
Their source of pride depleted, the Toronto Maple Leafs fan reverts to a Neanderthal-like existence, communicating in a series of grunts punctuated by a familiar cry.
Fire the coach! Fire Burke! Fire everyone!
The Toronto Maple Leafs fan then slinks away to golf courses, support groups, and probably tea parties where everyone wears frilly skirts and uses doilies. The Toronto Maple Leafs fan, rarely seen in public after March since 1967.
Tell me the duck story.
Bum, 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 ba-dum. When the duck walked up to the lemonade stand, and he said to the man running the stand, "Hey, bum, 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 got any grapes?"
We'd like to welcome our first guest to our podcast. We don't have a name for this segment yet, but maybe we'll have one once we've done this a few more times. Puddle Duck, welcome to the Sens Call-Ups.
This is Daniel Alfredson.
Yes? Yeah, me.
Wow, for a second there, I thought I actually had Alfredson.
I know. I was just trying to build it up. What can you say?
Well, I'm disappointed now.
Yeah, sure. I know.
Oh, we only have Puddle Duck.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I say that every morning.
For a second there, I thought it was going to be like that True Lies movie where you're going to just keep playing audio clips to answer all of our questions. And...
Well, if I was a little more technically adept, maybe. But in this lifetime, no.
That's okay.
How's it going, Duck?
Oh, not bad. You guys having a good summer?
Yep.
A little warm, kind of stewing in my own juices, making my own gravy, that sort of thing, but still good.
Under the heading of too much information, Cardinal for the win.
Yeah. There you go. That's all right.
Lordy. We brought you on.
You had sent a note that you wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of things going on with the Sens and some of the people who've been leaving or coming in. What's on your mind?
Well, I think a lot of people are kind of worried. I mean, everybody had their bit back and forth on Konopka or Karkner and which one you liked and which one you didn't. And I think the general feeling is fan favorite was definitely Karkner. I mean, for every punch he dropped on Boyle, I think we loved him that 100% and 110% more every time he hit him. But between the two, we've lost both of them now, so there is no real gee, would you rather. I think now you lost Konopka to the Wild for, what, just under a million a year? And you lost Karkner to the New York Islanders, and he cashed in way more than Konopka did at, like, what, 4.5 or something?
For three years.
I think that, you know, there's only one way to endear yourself to an Islanders fan base, and that's to beat the living crap out of a New York Ranger.
He did that in spades.
Oh, sign this guy. We want him.
Colorado? Wait a minute. They only play the Rangers once.
Ah, no kidding. But, hey, whatever. You know, Karkner, I had to love him more out of the two. But for Karkner, that knee was a major liability. It was going to catch up at some point. And I got to think that he's already been a journeyman. He's already been there in the AHL for a long damn time. So really, he's got to look at making his money before his body starts giving out on him, right? So you can't. Yeah,
I don't think any Senators fan begrudges him getting $1.5 million a year for 3 years by going to the Islanders. It's like, okay, we'll miss you, but good on you for getting it.
Yeah,
got $1 million a year to beat up New York Rangers. Congratulations, good luck.
Yep. He was looking for term.
He was.
Yeah,
he got it.
I don't think I'd want to give him 3 years though.
That's what he wanted here, wasn't it? I just think Murray was just, nah, no. We're going to pay you this much. This is your role. This is what you do. He only played like 29 games last year. That was part of surgery and everything else. But I mean, but you got to look at what he made. I mean, he made like $200,000 a year for 2 years when he was in Bingo, and then like $700,000 a year for the 2 years he was with Ottawa. He's got to make his money before his body gives out. I mean,
yeah,
you've got it. So
exactly. No, I don't think anybody. You know, we'll miss him, but we don't. It's not a departure that is anybody is really. You know, we're sad. We're not angry.
Yep. Yeah. He was reliable in the back line. He was. He did bring that toughness, and what he did against Boyle really, really stood out with the fans.
I'll love him forever. I'll never boo him when the Islanders show up or anything else. I like one of those players that leaves and you have that good feeling in your heart when he comes back, like Fisher or whoever else. You clap and you say, "Yeah, welcome back, buddy. Nice to see you. Good luck with your career." I mean, that's the same kind of view I'm going to have with Karkner. Konopka, huggy, tuggy, meh, whatever. You know, Konopka comes back, he's probably going to be about as much of a prick as he was for us, right? So, I mean, yeah, that's his job. Then again, Mr. Konopka probably wasn't planning on having Parise and Suter where he was going, so things just majorly changed for him for the positive in the Wild, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, big time.
Really, losing those two big guys is one thing, and then you got to think of Murray saying, well, I got to trade for someone or kind of go that route. And it's just I don't really think I want to see that. I mean, that's what – I don't want to trade away one of our young prospects that's kind of coming up through in order to get someone else's fisticuff guy. I think we've got a lot of young, intense guys, and I think a lot of them need to kind of – you know, when you have a big bruiser, everybody steps back. It's kind of like everybody is with Alfredson. Alfredson's there. He starts scoring like crazy, and everybody goes, oh, Alfie's here. He's going to win. You know, it's – I think when the big bruiser is gone and you've got a bunch of people that have to step up and do that, I think those are the calls out to guys like Zach Smith, Casper Dogovins, Neil, obviously, and some others to say, hey, you're not on Cowan and perhaps Griba and some of these other, Borbieski and some of these other young guys coming up.
Yeah.
Just to say, hey, you know, you can't sit on the bench and watch the big guy swing them anymore. You got to get out there and start doing what you need to do. And really, having one guy tied down being the heavyweight is just a liability. I'd rather have a bunch of guys so that if you piss somebody off, everybody's rough, everybody's tough, everybody's eager and energetic. Pick whoever's coming at you, because you pick on one, you pick on them all. I love the stuff Melnick is saying, especially in response to some of the Nash stuff, where he says, you know what, I'll take our eager and energetic young line against anybody's else's team any day. And I like that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. So, Doug, I think you're not concerned at all with the toughness level going down, looking ahead?
I didn't say that. What I said is that it's time for these other guys to do that. And I think we need to kind of start into the season and see how it goes, right? I mean, we've got the people. I just don't want to trade away an asset in order to get a thug, basically. I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like that in hockey myself. I want to see guys step up. But that'll depend on Alfie, Neil, who's like earning the A on his jersey every day, even though he doesn't wear it all the bloody time, and others. I mean, I've heard some young players say that Neil is just a beast in the dressing room when it comes to working out and stuff like that and doing everything that the trainers tell him and, you know, really kind of leading the guys with the, come on, boys, you go, let's go, and kind of keeping the tempo up. So I think Neil is going to have to step into that role a little more and see how many of these young guys like Borvieski, Griba, Lasard, we know Lasard will throw them, but I mean some of these other guys in Bingo that'll be up and down and various points through the year. I think we need to kind of just let it gel and see what comes out. Yeah. If we're a little weak, we'll see it. We'll play some physical games and we'll see whether we win or lose or how it goes and then make some decisions partway through the year. But I don't want to see us giving up an asset just to have a thug.
I don't really. Ottawa's lacking the heavyweight now. Neil can go with the heavyweights, but it's a toll on only one guy to do that. Yeah. Now, if you need to pick someone up, I don't think you really have to give up much for these guys either. maybe a fourth, fifth round pick, something like that, conditionals, or another maybe older prospect that may not fit or that we just really don't need because we got so many guys coming up. A couple things that I was really worried about this too, because I was a big Karkkonen fan, and he, even though I nicknamed Kanopka Hugs and Tugs at the start of the year, which I now completely take back. I'm still okay with it.
He was good on face-offs, man. I mean,
he was great on face-offs.
Almost 60% on face-offs. He was good.
Yep. I think Zach Smith can maybe do that role. We've got tons of centers. If that's going to keep someone like a Zibat off the team, I'd rather have Zibat trying at maybe a 40% or 50% in the dot versus Kanopka that's got to take the draw, bail out, change. Zach Smith can do the defense.
Oh, we need a hockey player in here. Just one second. Allow me to get out of the way, guys. Sorry. You know.
Yeah. So, and other things like that, I think Mathot, and I'm probably getting a bit ahead here, but Mathot, I believe, is going to be partnered up with Carlson.
Is it Mathot or is it Mathot?
I think it's Mathot.
Yeah, it's Mathot. All right.
Mathot is just Mathot. Okay.
I'm Mathot, so.
Boy.
Cheese. Perfect.
Now, Mathot can hit, and he does drop the gloves, so it's nice to have someone like that. So if something were to happen to Carlson again...
I saw him on Twitter. He was at a wedding with Phaneuf, for God's sakes. I'd be real cautious with this one.
I think
not break bread with the enemy. What are you doing, buddy? You better learn.
We may not have the nuclear deterrent of Karkkonen anymore, but Smith was certainly dropping them fairly early in mid-season last year. He kind of tailed off. I don't know if he was hurt or not, but we also have Cowan certainly can throw them. He doesn't really necessarily want to, but he can. And we also have Borowiecki, who's coming up, and he is an absolute beast. He hits guys hard in practice.
Yeah.
Because he plays with so much intensity that, it may not be that he's actually has to drop them a lot, but if the team is difficult to play against and hard to play against, we don't have a nuclear deterrent, but we've got an arsenal. We've got an entire battery of artillery. So if you want to go with us, you're going with six guys. It's not as if you're going to pick on one.
You're also talking about two different things, right? You're talking about toughness and fighting. Which, to me, they're two different things. Because once you start getting that guy that drops the knuckles and starts throwing them, and you're the guy that gets called out to deal the pain or do whatever, like Kanopka was, that's one of the things that comes with that is the magnet, penalty magnet. Kanopka got how many calls last year for quote-unquote being Kanopka? He didn't even – like, I hit him and fell down, and they said, okay, Kanopka out for 5 minutes, and you get up and what? So, I mean, this kind of – Karkkonen gets it for just being the big guy that comes in and hits somebody and goes, oh, well, you hit him like the old Chara. You're too big. You shouldn't have hit him like that.
You know what, Duck? I've got some math on that.
Math? Imagine.
Ooh, math.
Math is a wonderful thing. Math is a really cool thing. So get off your ass, let's do some math. Math, 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 math.
All right. So here's my math lesson.
You can play guitar, too.
So what I did, and I'm going to jump a little bit ahead too with some other changes on the team, but I looked at a ratio of penalty minutes to games played. So basically just dividing up your PIMs over the games played just to see how many penalties the player brings to, to the team. Now, a lot of this could be different when Kanopka gets 5 and probably a 10 for hitting that Ranger from the side and getting kicked out of the game. But things like that, they happen, especially with the reputations calls, as Doug mentioned. Who would you guys say are the top three in regards to this ratio?
penalty minutes to games played on the Senators last year?
Yep.
Foligno?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cowan?
He owned the goalie interference penalty. I think that was his. I think he took the crown home on that one.
They renamed it. It's 2 minutes for Foligno-ing.
Exactly right.
Was Cowan on that list at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Chris Neal?
Yep.
Konopka?
And Konopka. There you go. Yeah. So Konopka was at 3.51. Chris Neal is at 2.47 penalty minutes per game. And Foligno was at 1.51. Just to scroll down the list a bit, Zach Smith was a little high at 1.21. But then Kirchner was at 1.13. So
yeah,
now
he didn't play a lot, so.
No, but that's why I'm dividing it by games.
Yeah.
Where was McCulloch in there, by just curiosity?
Sure. McCulloch, 0.41.
Oh. Alfie?
Alfie was the best on the team, 0.24.
Really? Interesting.
So, utilize the golden god.
We were always complaining about getting calls against us and reputation calls. When we're looking at this and extrapolating out to an 82-game season, both Konopka, Foligno, and Kirchner, that's about three less penalties.
Huh?
So it's about 6 minutes.
In each of them, almost a penalty a game per.
Yeah.
So with Gonchar and Kuba, that could have been like three goals.
Well, it's it's an interesting comparison. It'll depend on whoever replaces them in the lineup and what they do, but there were an awful lot of them coming out of those three, so it may...
Successful teams over the last couple of years. Does LA even have a thug?
No. I'm sorry? LA?
LA.
No, they don't have a goon.
No, not really.
Boston...
Yeah.
Sean Thornton.
Well, and Milan Lucic.
Marchand was a pest, too.
I'd consider pest a little bit different. Thornton plays a role similar to Neal's. You need that, and we still have that.
I really do think Boston has that more universal toughness, right? Yeah. As opposed to goon.
Well, he's not a goon. He's just somebody who's tough, who plays a – he's more like a – Make Matt Kirchner a 20-goal scorer as a forward, and that's Milan Lucic.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
Chicago back in when they won, I think Bufflin was the toughest one, but he was also still very useful.
Yeah, but they kept flipping in between defense and forward, and then during the Vancouver series, they said, yeah, you're a forward, and stick your stick in Luongo's mask and stay there. And that's pretty much what he did. That's how he got his cup.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked.
It worked.
So I think it may be a little bit different.
You haven't heard much from him since he went to Winnipeg. He's like quiet as anything.
Well, he's just going to stay off the boats.
Small market, too.
So I don't know. I just found that a little bit interesting because bad calls were always a consideration. Foligno had, what, 8 goalie interference calls?
Yeah.
Which really he was just not playing right for that.
He was really undisciplined on a lot of things, right? I just felt he had with high energy, and when he went like crazy, and I like to see it because it's nice to see energy out of your hockey players, right? And I like to see my millionaires really run, but but the half the time with Foligno, it was just this uncorked energy where he was just going everywhere, and I think once he learns to tampen that a little bit, I think he'll be probably a better player. Now, it won't be ours. We won't be the benefit of that anymore. But, it'll be what it'll be. I have no ill will toward Nicky Figgs. He felt good about the community, and he worked hard for us. And, he was a little undisciplined. But, hey, let Columbus have the goalie interference penalties and see how they like it.
Oh, yeah. I got no issue with him. Not at all.
You can't wait till when Columbus comes to play Ottawa. It's like the minute he gets anywhere near Anderson drops like a stone. Ow! Oh, gee! Interference!
Might work. You never know.
Well, cool. Is that a plan there? Yeah, Anderson, well, good or not.
Well, we'll see. Anderson, what do you say?
Just got to order some more chicken.
Yeah. Well, Bottle Duck, thanks for your insight on this. It's always good to have an extra opinion come around because you've brought up a couple of thoughts that that I hadn't had myself. And I hope we can have you back sometime later on in the season to provide more insight because more perspective is always good. Because, quite frankly, mine's never worth much.
Well, don't speak down. If I might, just before I sign off, I'll just say one more thing, gents, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Three more things, actually, if that's okay.
No, you get to.
Vagina.
Oh.
Arse. Scrotum. Oh, God, that felt good to say.
All right, hang up on him. Hang up on him.
Thanks for joining, Puddle Duck.
Thanks, Puddle Duck.
Cheers.
Adios. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle. Till the very next day, bump, 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 bump.
Thanks again to Puddle Duck for joining us, the first of hopefully many guests that we have and many other groundhogs who are going to come in and give their opinion on subjects.
Yeah, I really, really can't wait till we conference in Stooley with cysteine.
Epic.
Bring the heat!
You'd better have your button on the beat button for that one there, Canuck. It's going to be it's going to be blue, but it would be entertaining.
Entertaining. Not just I don't know. Actually, I think there might be a better one between cysteine. I think it was TJ, and my apologies, TJ, it wasn't you in the forums that were going on about Spezza. Oh, man. Oh, just get the two of them.
I think TJ can just kind of go on his own.
Yeah.
Just the amount of hate that that man has.
Yeah.
Never dull, that's for sure. Never dull. Back in June, we didn't cover it earlier, but back in June, we'll go over it really quickly. The Senators, I think, absolutely stole Cody Ceci in the first round. I didn't expect him to fall to 15 where the Senators were drafting. I've been following him for a couple of years because I do attend 67's games on at least a semi-regular basis. And this guy has got some serious, serious skills. He's about 75% Erik Karlsson and maybe 25% Chris Phillips. He probably needs to work a little bit more on his defensive game, but he's got a lot of offensive mind without being defensively irresponsible necessarily. And when he fell to 15, which I couldn't really believe because most of the people who were supposed to be in the know for these things were saying that he was going to go earlier, I was very pleased.
Calgary kind of stirred the pooch on that one.
Well, there were a couple of people who went off the board early, and, you know, that's the way the draft goes. But having CC fall to 15, I'm really, really pleased that they picked him up. We'll be able to watch him play at Scotiabank Place regardless of where of outcome this coming season, because the 67s are playing out there for the next 2 years with the Civic Center being under renovation. I don't think he's going to make the big team through training camp this year. There's a lot of competition on the blue line, and he's young, and he is still eligible to go back to junior, but what a great player to pick up in that number 15 spot. I'm
excited for him. Like, he's a great interview already. I guess that's what happens when you come from having a dad that was a football player. And what did his mom do? Was she a skater?
I can't remember.
Some other sport.
Yeah.
So he's a great interview, and he's a pure local boy. He's from Orleans, played for the 67s, and now he's going to be on the Sens.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be great for getting that hometown feel back in and having a real, true local boy.
Yeah, like Borowiecki from Kanata, who was drafted and sort of got the call and said, hey, you want to come down? we're 10 minutes away at the arena. You want to come get a sweater? We just drafted you. So he ran down there. Great to see another local talent like Mark Mathot, who we'll be talking about when we get to the trade UFA discussion and trade discussion about July 1st. But another local talent, which is happy to see, really happy to see.
And for more breaking news tonight, you heard it here first. Cody Ceci is going to be playing at Scotiabank Place this season.
There's
a shocker. Colonel, you can explain why.
Well, it's because the 67s, who normally play at the Ottawa Civic Center, are going to be playing at Scotiabank Place for the next 2 years because Lansdowne Park and the Civic Center, which is underneath Lansdowne Park, is undergoing some very serious renovation and rebuilding work as part of the whole rejuvenation of Lansdowne Park to build the new football stadium, build some residential and some commercial areas, and to bring back the CFL. So the Civic Center is closed for 2 years, and that's why the 67s are playing out at Scotiabank Place.
Bring the CFL back again?
Yep. That's not that, this is a hockey podcast. We're not talking football. As for the rest of the draft, I don't have a lot of commentary on most of the other picks. There were a couple of interesting ones.
Tim Boyle.
That's
got to be why Kartner didn't come back.
Yeah, brother of Brian Boyle.
13 kids in that family.
Good Lord. Well, that's they should they're playing the wrong game. They should be playing the CFL then, because I mean that's an entire starting lineup. Jeez. Right there. But Tim Boyle is one, and François Brassard, who's playing for the who's a goalie for the Quebec Ramparts. I believe he'll be starting there this season. Yep. He'll be starting early for them
this year, and can't. Learn from anyone.
That's Patrick Waugh's team, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad having your coach, Patrick Waugh.
Another goalie, too.
Yeah.
Dreger from Calgary. Yep. They really, really went North American this year.
Big time. Big time. And Brassard, as another local connection, because his father, Mark, is the sports editor at Le Droit, the French newspaper in Ottawa-Gatineau. So another local boy. Maybe a bit of a long shot right now, but I mean, who knows, 2-3 years from now, who knows what it's going to look like. And that's why you draft. And that's why you figure out, you know, you figure out these things later on. But, another local product in the system, just like Shane Prince from the 67s, who was, drafted last year in the second round, and Jean-Gabriel Pageau, who was drafted from the Olympique last year in the fourth round. And Corey Cowick, who was drafted, I think, in 2009 from the 67s, who was playing in Bingo last year as well as in Elmira for the ECHL affiliate of the Senators. So really nice to see a local connection getting stronger and stronger with the Senators after so many years of we don't want to touch any local products, which seemed to be the muckler mantra, that they didn't want to look at anybody local. And, I mean, missed out on Logan Couture, among others. not that they could have necessarily drafted them, but there were players who were they could have had a shot at that they didn't take. Anyway, so
Cardinal, I'd just like to hear you pronounce Pageau's name one more time.
Jean-Gabriel Pageau?
Yes, thanks.
Sorry.
It's very smooth.
Oh, okay. Did I do it wrong?
Right. Can you follow that with a ho ho ho?
No, I don't make fun of that sort of thing. I just happen to be bilingual, and I was born in Montreal.
No, it's a very smooth Quebecois accent. It's awesome, actually.
After the draft, I mean, only a few days after the draft, we had UFA season, and a couple of players who we already talked about, Konopka, Karkner, both leaving. Kuba left to go to Florida for 2 years. Kuba played really well last year. I wouldn't have minded him having back, but 2 years at $4 million a year, too much. For a guy who's already 35 years old, might start to break down a little bit. I don't blame him for going to Florida. But, you know, I would have had him back.
Anymore. I've had enough.
I'm okay with him because he played really well with Carlson last year. But he's, again, kind of like Puddle Duck said, he's not a guy I'm going to boo when he comes back. Not at all. Not at all. You know, he played for us. He played well for us in his last year of his contract. Looked really good. We got into the playoffs. I got no problem with it.
He's going to pull a Corvo, and he's going to score like 3 goals on us in the game, isn't he?
No, but he'll get 3 assists on the goals. He's got no shot. I got to remember, you're the man with the finger on the button for all the sound effects.
Oh, the sound effect button. Okay. Thought you were going to go blue there.
No. No. I was listening to the email, the voicemail from Marjorie earlier. I'm trying to stay at least PG.
Sure.
Getting to July 1st. I mean, after we lost Kuba, we there were a couple of UFA signings. We picked up La Tendresse and Lundin from the Wild. I have to say, I don't know much about Lundin at all, other than he's a defenseman who some people have said is a bit soft. That's all I know. Nothing else.
Doesn't
Kuba.
Score. I think it might be very similar to that.
Yeah.
Not as big.
Does he have an offensive upside?
No.
So he's Kuba without the hands. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Guillaume Latendresse, I remember from his days with the Habs, and he certainly has potential. I mean, he may work out to be a second line winger. You never know.
Yeah.
The amount that either of them were signed for was like $1 million, $1.2 million, somewhere in there. So
has 1 year, 1.2. It's worth the risk. It's kind of like Philip.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't work out. Put him on waivers. Someone pick him up.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I was looking at it. I mean, I also have no idea who Hugh Jessamyn is.
I don't think anyone knows who.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Because I heard that one and I went, I got nothing on this guy at all. Never even heard of him before.
He was a first rounder by the Rangers back in. So Glenn Sather doing his homework.
Yeah, Glenn Sather. Yeah, I don't trust Glenn Sather judgment on anything.
Two NHL games, I think, ever in 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Well, probably going down to bingo then. And
yep.
That's fine. You never know. May need him as a call-up at some point if whatever. A safe signing, no big deal. The Senators have also signed Andre Benoit, former Binghamton Senator, who could make the big team, but is likely going to be down at the down in Bingo. He's going to be making $300,000 in Binghamton, which is the second highest AHL salary.
They must.
He was with the Calder Cup winning team. Right?
He was. He was.
Good piece of that.
Yeah. He after that he went to play for Spartak Moscow in the KHL, and now he's coming back. So.
He's got a two-way, I think, so we don't have to worry about waivers.
Yep. And they also signed Nathan Lawson, who's the we were talking about him earlier, fourth line on the depth chart, or is fourth on the goalie depth chart. Played with Hamilton last year. That's cool. And just today, they signed Jim O'Brien to a two-year deal at about $640 per year, a one-way deal. That's the kind of surprised me. A little
that does surprise me.
Well, it did until I looked. I did a little bit of thinking about it, and I had to go and look, do a little bit of research. He actually played from the beginning of February till the end of the playoffs. He was up here that long.
Did you notice him, though?
I didn't notice him, but that's okay. I mean, he's a forward that, yeah, but I'm not noticing him for the mistakes he's making either, right? So... Again, he could be taking over Konopka's spot as, you know, he's a useful center, so he's probably going to be competing with Regan and Smith for the third and fourth line center roles, or maybe he's going to be playing on a wing. I don't know, but that's okay. I mean, I was listening to, I remember listening to an interview with Kirk Kleinendorst about halfway through the year last year at how much O'Brien had progressed over his first couple of years in Binghamton, even the year before Kleinendorst arrived. And he was very, very happy with his progress. And even the press conference today with Tim Murray was saying how much O'Brien has really moved forward with his development and really dedicated himself to it. So I'm okay with it. I mean, $640,000?
That's it's low risk. I mean, there's no issue here.
Exactly.
Just surprising. I know we tend to think forward to the season and all the young forwards that we have, you know, Silfverberg and, you know, Zibanejad and those guys, are they going to make all the team? And not everyone's going to make it. We need these guys. So
exactly. And if Paul McLean is following the Detroit model, then all those, you know, prospects, especially from last year's draft, should be down in Binghamton.
I don't see anyone making the team from last year's draft.
You know, Zibanejad, Stone, Silfverberg, I can see making the big team, but the rest of them, put them down in Bingo, let them be successful, let them play at a different level, and let them progress.
I think the other thing with O'Brien's contract is if he sits a game, it's not a big hit on the cap.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if we need a shake up, a lot of these guys like a Zibat or the Silfverbergs, they're all on two ways. So that's kind of like an upwards pressure. It's not like you can float anymore and you'll still play and get your ice time. There's someone that's just a phone call away.
Are you saying they can't Kovalev?
No one should ever Kovalev.
Very well. They also signed.
Is that in the dictionary now?
Kovalev. It is in Ottawa and Montreal and Pittsburgh.
New York.
Yeah, sign them up one after the other. And they also signed Eric Greiba today to a two-way deal, a two-year two-way deal. Another defenseman, probably start the year in bingo, but he's a guy who can come up. He's another guy with a bit of a mean streak. He's a very gritty, tough to play against defenseman.
I'm looking forward to seeing him making the team. I hope he does.
I've been watching his progression over in bingo for the past couple of years. I'm looking forward to it too.
Yeah, I think he's a big boy. You go to the Leaf games or some of the other games against the tougher teams, that might cover the heavyweight that we're missing.
And if not a heavyweight, at least a defenseman who will, oh, you want to come into my corner? Okay, you're in my corner.
Just
remember?
Get it.
It's my corner that you're in now. And just, you know, destroy them. Not destroy them, but necessarily, but just rub them out. And make them realize the next time that Phil Kessel's coming down into that corner, he's meeting a big body who's willing to throw a big check against him. He's not coming up against Kuba. He's coming up against somebody who will hit him hard and throw him on his ass. So we'll see. We'll see.
You haven't mentioned the big trade yet.
The big trade. I was just coming to it. Thank you for that excellent segue. the big trade was a Foligno for Mathot. So a forward for a defenseman. We got... We now have another defenseman in our, and we're missing out on a person. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike Nick Foligno. I never believed he was a top six forward, and they tried to put him in that role for a long time. And when he played at center, he could be a top six forward if he was a center. But this team is so loaded with centers now that he just wasn't getting that role. And I didn't find him terribly effective as a second line winger.
No, you're second line center. He's nowhere near Churis.
No, he's not. Absolutely.
I was still shocked about this because I thought he could definitely challenge for the second line winger position, especially with Regan re-signing for a discount this year. That, I think, pretty much made Foligno expendable from what we've heard through the whole Rick Nash talks. Foligno was a big piece as to what Columbus was looking for. So it's shocking to see him getting moved. I was shocked. I didn't know anything about Columbus, and I still don't. I don't even think anyone knows anything about it.
I don't know if Columbus really cares about Columbus.
So it's hard to see him go. Good guy in the community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I guess you got to give to take, right?
Yeah, I agree. Like I was sad to hear him departing. I did like him. I liked his character. I like what he brought, but I don't know. You just look at it and, you know, Pan, you're the math guy, but you got all these forwards and we need defensemen, and it was just a business decision, I guess. And
yeah.
And we got to see him go, but
there's a lot of competition for a second line wing position. And I mean, he signed in Columbus for $3.25 million. I'm sorry, Nick Foligno is not worth $3 million+.
That I can't buy. There's contracts have been real, real high this year.
Oh. They're
kind of push things through before the CBA and other things like that. But we're probably hitting the new basement again, just like what
exactly
Ottawa had to do. It's keeping Kuba around at $4 million a year.
Well, thank goodness we signed Carlson for six and a half. Sorry. Six and a half.
Well, who's going to step in and take care of those goalie interference penalties? That's what I want to know.
I think nobody, because that means our penalty minutes will go down per game. And I'm okay with that because our PK was good last year, but I'd be really happy with playing a bit more 5-on-5. I don't know.
We lost a period to Nick Foligno's goalie interference calls.
Let's not go back there.
Good point by you.
No.
So I'm okay with that trade. I'm looking forward to seeing Mark Mathot play here. He was there was an interview with him on the radio where he was certainly looking forward to it. So, you know, it's a bit of a wash, quite frankly. You know, I didn't dislike Foligno, but I'm okay with him leaving. Really, I guess is the way I would look at it.
We get quality back in a place that we needed it.
Exactly. And I mean, there's been a lot of talk now about what does this team need? Do we need, you know, now with all the trades that have been or the the one trade that's gone on and a few signings and people moving out and people moving in, there's a lot of talk about what do we need now? Do we need to bring in an enforcer? Do we need another top six winger? Do we need another blue liner? Do we need it to be a tough blue liner? Do we need it to be a puck mover? I think really the team is pretty well stocked with where it is now. They're at 46, I think. I was talking on the radio today, 46 signed contracts, and they still have to sign DaCosta. And you can only have 50. So I presume DaCosta will start the year in Binghamton, or he might be trade bait. I don't know. But I'm okay with the way the team is going to look, at least for now. And we'll see how the rookie camp and then, you know, preseason camp goes.
We've got. Are they going to do a rookie camp this year? I heard it was canceled because of CBA.
Oh, that's right. Good point by you.
Okay, so there is none, eh? That's too bad.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. But, I mean, overall, I have to trust in... I have to give Brian Murray at least the benefit, my benefit of the doubt, because he's made some pretty good moves over the last little while and some moves like the Filatov one, which was, what was that, a trade for a third round? That was a good roll of the dice. I had no problem with that. So
yeah, you don't give
moves,
up much.
Yeah,
these other moves, I'm okay with that. We'll see how it goes. I don't really have a problem with it.
Did anyone make it out to see the development camp at the Sensplex?
I didn't, unfortunately. No. I wanted to, but I never made it. It was there wasn't a lot of news coming out of it. I mean, other than the stuff that we would be expecting to hear about it. Mark Borowiecki was given the hardest working player for the second year in a row. Big surprise, he likes to hit people. And I don't think
I
that's...
I hope he makes the team.
Oh, so do I. I would love to see him be playing up against... between he and Jared Cowan, having two big, strong guys who like to hit people on the back end, and, you know, some steady guys like Phillips and Gonchar and Carlson back there, I think we could have a pretty interesting back end. So I really hope he does make it. There were some comments about Zibanejad being a bit soft, but he was also scoring, so... Nice. Nice.
Yeah, Zibad's soft. If you follow him on Twitter, he keeps retweeting his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's also 19.
Yeah, but when you're going to be playing against guys like Burrows, they're going to feed on that. I think the PR team's got to get on him on that.
We'll see.
Maybe we should stop the Muppet theme for Zibanejad and get some like really hard rock. I don't know.
Yeah, that might be a good plan.
What do you say, folks? Nickelback? Nickelback?
Oh, no, Nickelback. God.
Kidding.
How about Five Finger Death Punch or something like that? I'll look something up.
Death fisting. I don't know.
I'll look something up for you. I'll look something up. Most of what came out of the development camp was pretty predictable. CC was looking pretty good. Stone was looking pretty good. Most of the prospects played pretty well, including some of the free agent signings, the college free agent signings, like Cole Schneider is one that comes to mind that they were pretty pleased with the Senators. I saw one news release that the Senators were pleased with the way he had been playing. So there are a couple of guys like those, the free agents coming out of college that were signed last year that nobody's really ever heard of and nobody pays attention to, but may come to something, may not. We'll probably end up in bingo and we'll see where it goes from there. Simple as that. So it was fun, but there wasn't a whole lot around it, I don't think.
Mark Stone?
Mark Stone looked good. Mark Stone looked good. So,
did he look better in Silverberg?
I couldn't tell you about that. I just remember a couple of people making note of the fact that he did look pretty good. I don't think he'll make the big team coming straight out of junior. I think he'll probably go and play a year in the AHL because Silverberg is a bit older and has been playing in the Swedish Elite League for a few years because he's, 23, I think? Stone's 20, so I don't know. We'll see. Could go either way. And I mean, whichever person ends up on the big team, I'm sure we'll be happy with. I don't think it'll be the end of the world in any direction. In the rest of the UFA frenzy, it's been pretty quiet this year because there hasn't been a whole lot of... it wasn't exactly a thick crop this year. There weren't a whole lot of them. There's been some absolute insanity going on. Insanity. And the one that I find really, really mind-blowing is what's been going on in Minnesota in the past couple of weeks, with a team signing not one but two 13-year and $98 million deals. Am I the only one that sort of gave that one a bit of a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
That's a lot of cash, and I didn't think Minnesota had the budget for this.
I didn't think
they got room. They already got an all-star on that team.
Well, that's true.
You know what? With these guys on, I really think Heatley's going to have to get moved. They're going to move him.
Who's going to take him now? Oh, wait a minute. Philadelphia or New York?
They're all send him to the Leafs. Then we can double hate him.
Oh, awesome. Burke, get on that. You need more truculence. And you
okay,
need
you've heard it here first. Okay.
Three first-round draft picks for Danny Heatley.
50-goal score.
Oh, that would be, and maybe Roberto Luongo in nets for them having a complete implosion. Oh, that would be gold. The Leafs with Heatley and Roberto Luongo. Think about
just
that for a
moment. Hate.
Oh, as well as the suck.
Yep.
That could be a lot of fun. Oh, I never thought
bring
about
it.
That. Oh,
bring it.
Do it.
I think I'm going to be giggling for the rest of the evening about that. Honestly, that's hilarious. I mean, the rest of the whole free agent thing that's still going on with Nash and Luongo and Bobby Ryan and Semin. How about Tim Thomas? You know, Tim Thomas is saying, "Oh, I want to sit out for a year," but you know, does he really? Is he looking for a trade, or does he want it? Is he just getting old and tired, or is he just absolutely bonkers?
Is it an election year in the States?
It is.
It is.
Well, maybe he's trying to run for office there.
Or maybe he just wants to work for it. Yeah, who knows?
How old is he now? 37, 38?
30. I think he's 38. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
So at 38 years old, you're going to take a year off.
But he still has one more year on his contract, which is guaranteed money.
Hey, Hasek wants to come back to NHL.
At 47.
Yeah.
You should just take both of them.
Yeah, how's your abductor?
So much
insanity. There's going to be lots to talk about on this particular subject of free agents going on for the rest of the summer. I'm sure it's what talk radio is doing, or sports talk radio is talking about most of the time these days when they're not talking about the other big subject in the NHL right now, the CBA. And the opening stance from the owners was, I don't know what you guys thought. Ludicrous doesn't even begin to start it. I realize it's a negotiation. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I know it's an opening, you know, it's a negotiation. It's a bargaining. It's a barter. It's a haggle.
I don't know. That's just like going in to negotiate your salary and your boss says, well, would you work for a dollar? I don't know. Seems insulting. Yeah, I guess this is how they do it, but it just seems insulting to someone like me.
Yeah.
For someone who's been in contract negotiations like this with CBAs, granted, a grocery store doesn't compare to this at all. but you know what? This is the league asking for more than what it actually wants. It's a starting point. They're setting the bar.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this city has seen other types of strikes, for example, when OC Transpo went off. At least they met again today.
Yeah.
So it's not like when Transpo went out and they said, you know what, no, we reject your offer and we refuse to go back to the table for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well,
trying to work.
Despite the talks, aren't they going to continue playing the season under the current arrangements while talks go on?
That's a hard one to call. I think the players are playing it really smart on this one because they've already said that. Yeah.
The PA will never strike.
No. The players have already said, yeah, we'll keep playing on the old one. But I think they're also really smart in that they haven't come back with something equally ludicrous
Well, that'll
as
that'll
their
be
starting point.
Yeah, because management always starts with the negotiations. They discussed more today. We'll probably see some type of rebuttal leak out in the next couple days.
If I was the players' union, I would wait 3 weeks and say, and put the pressure on the owners to come up with a modification to their position.
On a first one, it's not going to work. And now you're going to burn 3 weeks, puts you to August?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It just kind of freaks me out that, you know, if I was them, I'd be like, I'm not even going to respond to that for now. Because it's so utterly ludicrous. I'm not even going to respond for now. I'll wait.
But if there's a lockout this fall, I'm telling you, like, you're going to get a lot of emo stuff coming out of this podcast, man.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Right. Here's a couple of things that I noticed from here, though. Contracts limited to 5 years. The deals have to have equal value for each year of the contract. You know what? The players didn't come up with these ideas. The GMs did.
Yeah, they want to put conditions in to protect them from themselves.
Exactly.
Honestly. You know, they were the ones who were saying, oh, well, we'll do a 13-year contract and we'll put the last 5 years in at $500,000 and you don't have to play for them, but this will bring the salary cap down. So you're circumventing the rule you made.
I like the contract limit of 5 years. Yep. I don't know if that ever gets through or not. I like that idea. And I'd say that even though we signed Carlson for six, if 5 years from now the guy's still as good and good as valuable, then he's worth that money and you sign him again. Like I like the end of the craziness.
Yep.
Hopefully there's some sort of measure so we don't get those, you know, 13-year, 19-year contracts.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. But, you know, it's not the players who are asking for a 13-year contract, I don't think.
I doubt it. Just a way to circumvent the cap issues, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I'm sure that some of these things will come and go, but it's just, it seems that so much of this is protecting ownership from themselves.
Yeah.
The mistakes that they've made.
Yep. And well, really, the one like entry level contract from 3 years to 5 years, like, give me a break. I mean, who's going to come over here from overseas now, you know?
Yeah. How many Russians are you going to get now?
Yeah. Didn't even think of that.
Well, Swedes too, right?
Swedes too. Absolutely. Finns, Swedes.
Yeah.
They'll all say, screw this, I'm going to the KHL, I can make my money sooner. And rightfully so. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, this is one that's going to play out for a while, and hopefully we don't lose any of the season. There was a, I don't remember where I was listening to this discussion, whether it was, I was reading, listening to it or reading it, but one media person was saying that, you know, we could have a lockout as long as hockey starts round about U.S. Thanksgiving, because that gets the teams time to get into playing and be playing regularly and get their skills up to speed in time for the Winter Classic, because the Winter Classic is when an awful lot of people in the U.S. thinks hockey season starts. So if they lose the first 2 months of the season, it's not really that big a deal in an awful lot of U.S. markets. Meanwhile, the Canadian markets are going, what do you mean? So I hope that's not the case. I really hope that's not the case. But if it is, well, guess I'll be going to a lot more junior games. Just like I did 7 years ago. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
Holding my tongue on Bettman right now.
Oh, but why? But why?
Gary Bettman?
Oh, that doesn't even cover it. That doesn't even cover it. He works for the league, he works for the owners, and he does exactly what they want. And he didn't get booed in L.A. Exactly. There was none of that. What kind of city is L.A. of people who, you know, Johnny-come-lately bandwagon fans where they don't know that they're supposed to boo Gary Bettman when he's presenting the Stanley Cup?
I think some of them try, but he learned. He got really quickly and said something that you have to kind of cheer for. Congratulations, you know, and he says it really fast. And you can't really boo when you're congratulating your team that just won the cup. You know, it doesn't seem right. So
Fair enough.
No water bottles were thrown this year, though. I was disappointed.
Well, we'll see where that one goes. That's going to be a topic for probably the next couple of shows at least. Hopefully, it'll be concluded quickly, and then the next time we all get together, we'll be able to say, okay, the deal's done and hockey season's starting, and we won't be going, well, I guess we're looking at CFL, NFL, and junior hockey. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Well, I'm out of about things to say.
All right.
I think we've
We're coming up on an hour and a half here, guys.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah.
For the first podcast, I was worried we wouldn't have anything to talk about and we'd be done in 30 minutes. So that's done pretty well. Well, I think we've wrapped things up for now. Guys, before I close, any closing comments?
Yeah, just one thing. Twitter, that's really blown up. 150 followers on a 90-second promo. That's incredible. So feel free to follow
freaking
us.
Awesome.
That's great, guys. We're really liking the support. Continue to follow us. Spread the word. And I'll be running some types of Twitter contests. Haven't really figured that out. Just thinking maybe for the 11th follower, but you guys really blew past that. So keep your eyes up on Twitter. That's all I really got to add right now.
Okay. Quick reminder, if anybody's interested in being part of the Sens Underground Network, there's information on the main page of sensunderground.com, or you can contact them at podcast@sensunderground.com. We don't want to be the only people broadcasting on this network. Please get involved, whether it's going to be weekly or a one-off or whatever. I don't want to be listening to my own voice all season. I want to hear other people's voices involved in what's going on. But this podcast, it's in the books. You can post the SU forums on sensunderground.com. You can contact us via email at podcast@senscallups.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter, as Pan was talking about. We're at Sens Callups. I'm Cardinal, and on behalf of Pan and Canuck, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.
Don't want this freaking episode to end.
Seriously, those call-ups did wonders.